It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Dave Mistich in for Beth Voorhees. Attorney Tom Rist is representing environmental groups and a resident concerned about Danny Webb Construction's waste disposal operation in Fayette County.
And these open pits were discovered by the DEP back in 2004. They were not a part of any permit that had been issued. The DEP has done nothing about it until about 2 months ago.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. In the weeks following this year's legislative session, a group of activists proved that standing up for what you believe in can sometimes make a difference. After letters, meetings, and rallies at the Capitol, organizations that provide children and family services got their funding restored by the legislature during a special session. Despite the ability of those groups to get their funding back, not every agency or organization was able to do the same. For instance, 21st Century Innovation Zones, Reconnecting McDowell, and Workforce Development were all reduced by the governor as a line item veto, and those cuts won't be reconsidered. This morning, Ashton Mara details another program that won't be expanding due to a lack of state funds, the West Virginia State Police Crimes Against Children Unit.
Sergeant Andrew Shingler is the commander of the West Virginia State Police Detachment in Sutton in Braxton County. While a portion of his job includes responding to 911 calls, a majority of his duties include overseeing the investigations of the six troopers assigned to him and paperwork, a lot of paperwork. But this week, Shingler is leaving his post as detachment commander and becoming one of the newest members of the State Police Crimes Against Children Unit, a group of 19 officers who investigate and help other troopers investigate abuse, sexual assault, and internet crimes specific to the youngest members of our communities.
It seems like when, during these other situations or crimes that we investigate and you talk to these children, they're always affected by it. They're smart. They notice things. And I don't know. I just think that more and more can be done for it, and I think that's one of the pivotal roles that this unit's going to play.
The unit started filling that role in 2006 when the legislature passed the Child Protection Act. The bill set aside funding for six troopers to oversee investigations involving children throughout the state. In 2009, the unit expanded and has since grown to the 19 it includes today. But the state police have been on a mission to expand the unit and put more boots on the ground. And that's where Lieutenant Daniel Swagger comes in. He's the Crimes Against Children Unit Commander, and this year took his fight to the State House, lobbying, so to speak, for more money for more troopers.
The amount of work that those troopers can create is well worth the effort.
Swagger teamed up with the Women's Caucus and the House Select Committee on Crimes Against Children to get the funding approved for 50 new troopers over the next 5 years. The idea was those new troopers would take positions out in the field, allowing more experienced officers to shift to his specialized team. And Swagger was able to get members of the House on his side. But as the story goes, members of the Senate wouldn't agree to add additional salaries into the base budget of the state. Then, during budget week, both houses agreed to a compromise. They'd fund 5 to 6 new troopers this year, allowing officers to move to the unit, and would consider approving more positions in the future. The compromise, however, didn't make it past the governor's desk. Tomlin vetoed the funding in the days following the session, bringing Swagger's dream of a one-day 85-member unit to a standstill, at least for now.
It's discouraging to me to know that it's not a priority. I think there's funding there. It just comes down to is what is the priority in government? Where do we want to put our funding? I think it's there if they search hard enough. If the politicians search hard enough to find the funding, I think it's there. It's just whether or not someone wants to step up and make that bold move and say that we're going to fund this rather than something else.
He used the word discouraging over and over to describe the decision. In just the past year, his small staff investigated more than 500 cases, arresting 194 people who were convicted on more than 1,000 felony counts. This unit, Swagger says, is worth the money.
Everything they work will have a major impact on somebody's life, whether it be the victim, the suspect, or both. Every case that we work. And it can be life-altering cases. So there's a lot of stress involved in what we do day in and day out. And it takes a special person to want to work with what we have. And I've had people tell me, I don't know how you do that. And my answer is then, well, how can we not do this? How can we not do this?
The lieutenant says his team is their own worst enemy because they will do it, and they'll do it with less. This week, Shingler will join the unit, taking the place of an officer injured in the line of duty. The agency has also managed to sacrifice one more field trooper who will join the Crimes Against Children team as well. But those two additions are it for now. In the State House, Delegate Barbara Fleshhauer, vice chair of the Committee on Crimes Against Children and the Women's Caucus, says finding funding will continue to be a priority going into next year's legislative session. As for Shingler, he says he hopes and prays the legislature will continue to support his new unit.
You know, everything comes down to money, and you have to prioritize, and you have to decide what's important. And let's face it, what's more important than the lives of these children? Nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The West Virginia Environmental Quality Board is reviewing an order issued by the DEP that revokes a waste disposal permit. Attorney Tom Rist is representing environmental groups and a resident concerned about Danny Webb Construction's waste disposal operation in Fayette County. Glennis Ward spoke with Rist and has more.
Attorney Tom Rist filed the appeal a couple months ago on behalf of Bradley Keenan, the National Resources Defense Council, the West Virginia Surface Owners Rights Organization, and the Plateau Action Network. The groups have a number of concerns with the revocation order of a permit issued by the State Department of Environmental Protection. The operation permit was revoked in March, but the order still allowed the operator, Danny Webb Construction, to continue work at the site. The site in concern is located between Oak Hill and Fayetteville in Fayette County and has been worrying residents for years. It's located off of a tributary of the New River called Wolf Creek. Rist says some residents are concerned about drinking water contamination while others worry about rafters and tourists who spend time in nearby waters.
What we're filing and trying to do right now is to prevent something from happening. I'm hopeful that we're able to push this through and to get some kind of resolution that prevents more from happening at this site.
More than 50 million gallons of waste fluids have already been injected into the Class 2 underground injection well, which is permitted to accept waste fluid from the oil and gas industry. Commercial brine operators such as Danny Webb are required to maintain a manifesting system, which is a log of where wastes originate, according to the DEP. A certain amount of testing and monitoring is also required at these disposal sites. But Rist and the groups he represents are skeptical about how effective these measures are at protecting public interests. For years now, open pits have been used at the Danny Webb operation to store waste products before they were injected. Citizen concerns of smells and apparent leaching have surfaced. The DEP's own water quality tests were presented as evidence in the hearing.
We extrapolated the data that had been provided by the DEP, which was provided to them by Danny Webb, and looked at everything that they were supposed to have been doing for the last 5 years with water testing, and found that they've not complied in any given year with a consent order that was entered in 2008 requiring water testing. They've tried, but they've not complied.
Water quality tests conducted over the past several years, while inconclusive, do seem to indicate increased pollutants introduced somewhere in the immediate vicinity of the aforementioned pits. But experts have indicated that the tests are really inadequate to determine anything other than the fact that the pollutants on the given days did exist and that they represent minimal exposure risks. But Rist says it took citizen and legal action to motivate appropriate protective measures at the Danny Webb site.
And these open pits were discovered by the DEP back in 2004. They were not a part of any permit that had been issued. The DEP has done nothing about it until about 2 months ago after this appeal was filed. Lo and behold, all of a sudden Danny Webb cleans up those pits. And our understanding is of the reclamation plan was they were supposed to have taken the water out of the pits, injected it into the wells, and then they took the soil that was underneath the pits and loaded it in trucks and took it to the Raleigh County landfill and dumped it.
But back to the hearing. Rist says of the 8 issues listed in the appeal, only the top 3 will be considered in the final ruling. He argues, first and foremost, the issuance of the DEP's order, which revoked the operations permit, violates public policy of the state of West Virginia to maintain reasonable standards of security in the quality of water, according to the West Virginia Water Quality Control Act and the Groundwater Protection Act. The petitioners take issue with the revocation of the operator's permit in that that revocation allowed the operation to continue.
It says that the injection permit is hereby ordered to be revoked. And in that same order, they give them basically the ability to just keep injecting and doing what they were doing anyway. And so the order itself that revokes the permit is almost a mirror of the order they issued granting the permit. And so we don't even know what that means.
Rist also argues that the proposed well constitutes a hazard to the safety of people, that potential damages would impair a publicly owned resource, and so measures taken by the DEP fail to protect the fresh water source or supplies in the state.
It's a huge issue in West Virginia now. It's not just a issue in Fayette County. This is a West Virginia issue. We're aggressively trying to do anything we can to prevent any more injection to happen at this site. We believe that the fact that it took 10 years to shut down these pits that were being used at a site that weren't approved anyway, I mean, that it's a violation of the permit, which should be a violation of law. And maybe there's not strong enough laws on the books in West Virginia. And so this is something that the legislature needs to look at, because it is the next environmental disaster waiting to happen here.
The ruling from the Environmental Quality Board is expected in the next 3 months. We reached out to the DEP for comment on this story, and while they did provide some background information, they did not wish to comment on the hearing until the ruling is finalized. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
Meanwhile, Wolf Creek residents have recently been informed that Danny Webb Construction is in the process of exploring options to expand operations. Whether that expansion will be gas exploration or more injection wells is unclear. This is West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:42. Today, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s to around 90 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy overnight with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the 60s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could produce heavy rain and gusty winds, highs in the 70s and 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, working to diversify the economy in the New River Gorge region of West Virginia, serving Fayette, Nicholas, Raleigh, and Summers counties. NRGRDA.org.
This morning, we continue our coverage of the Turn This Town Around project. This series follows two towns, Grafton in north central West Virginia and Matewan in southern West Virginia, as they undergo projects to help the towns look better and revitalize community development. As Beneduccio reports, some new funding is available for these projects.
Through the Claude Worthington Benedim Foundation, the towns of Grafton and Matewan will receive up to $75,000 each in grants to help pay for as many as 20 revitalization projects in each community. But there are strings attached. A core team of at least three people have to work on a project and commit to attending workshops. In Grafton, one of those people, Douglas Floor, is working to expand the farmers market. Floor says grant money would help.
Almost immediately, it's canopies because, we were talking with the folks in Bridgeport. You really don't want anybody just pulling up with a pickup truck and selling stuff out of the back of the truck. So if we can provide canopies, we can use that seed money to get the canopies. Once we get folks coming in and selling their produce, and they don't have to put up the money up front in order to buy their own canopy, you have a nice place for people to come to. When they start making money, it'll grow. And we see this farmers market is a little bit more than just a guy selling his vegetables. We see local artists coming in. So anybody that produces something will be able to sell at this market. So the seed money will allow us to buy some infrastructure right up front.
The revitalization projects included in Turn This Town Around fall into three areas. The first are regarded as low-hanging fruit, which means they can be completed by the end of this year. The second area is intermediate. That means the project can be completed by next July. The final area is bold, transformational, which may take years to complete. Floor says he hopes to be involved with several different projects in all these areas.
Well, I don't think that we're ever going to see a blossoming of Graft in the downtown area again. I think we all see it as a place where there's some boutique shops. People come in, you get a coffee, there's a nice restaurant, that type thing. So we want the farmers market to attract more people into the downtown area. But it's not going to be like it's never going to be like a strip mall. We're not going to see JCPenney's down there ever again. And I think the farmers market will help us just economically to bring folks into the downtown area. And it's more than that, because really it's a feeling of community. It's not just making money. It's giving people a place where they want to live.
Another member of the farmers market team is Peggy Barney. She's also on another team working on civic infrastructure. This includes getting an after-business hours conversation group together in Grafton to meet and talk about how to improve the community. Discussion like this used to happen, but it fell by the wayside.
We've talked to different groups. There's different people who are interested in being involved and getting that, you know, reorganized. Different businesses each month or whatever time period it was, a different business would sponsor it. And it would be at their business or at a location of their choosing. And we had refreshments. And it's just a meet and greet and getting to know everybody.
Barney has lived in Grafton for many years. She says throughout that time, she's seen her community change a great deal. She's very excited about the Turn This Town Around process, which she says is very different from past revitalization efforts.
I think it's very exciting. I have been involved in efforts like this for some time, over the last several years, and I have seen Grafton come from a very prosperous town to losing all of our industries, and then a resurgence, and we think, oh boy, we're almost there, and then things fading again. But this is a little bit different than everything that has been done before, and I think it's very exciting to me personally. And looking around the room at a number of people who are here, you can feel the energy.
The teams must submit applications for the funding by August the 1st. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Grafton.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can also subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at wvpublicnews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Dave Mistich.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Tamarack, the best of West Virginia in Beckley, showcasing handmade arts and crafts from neighboring counties, not neighboring countries. Facebook.com/TamarackWV.